Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is a sermon I preach. I try to preach it once a year. It's been a couple of years since I've preached a sermon. If it's not quite this sermon I preach, it's something quite like it. Because I think it's important. And the principles involved go down to the heart of our everyday life with Jesus. So we're going to look at how to find the will of God. How to be sure of the will of God this evening. And we're going to just take as our sort of launching platform for this Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Where Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. A lot of people are looking for guidance in their life. A lot of people go to the wrong place to look for guidance. Newspapers and magazines carry horoscopes. They wouldn't carry them if they weren't popular. When my beloved BlackBerry died on me, I don't know if BlackBerry dies or it's squashed, but either way, I got the infamous, dreaded white screen of death. And so I went down to the shop in town and I picked up this other phone. And the guy said, oh, it's great. He said, you know, we can do a great deal and you can watch television on it. I said, that sounds good. And you can, you can look up the horoscopes on it every day. And I said, why would I want to do that? And he said, well, I don't know. Some people do. I say, well, I guess some people do, but I don't. My life is not guided by the stars. But you can look for guidance, and you can look for guidance in the right place. You can look for it in the wrong place. But you and I, we want to do God's will, do we not? I'm starting at this point. I guess you wouldn't be here this evening if you didn't want to do God's will. What would be the point of living in this world if you didn't do God's will? What would be the point of an existence if you and your Creator didn't see eye to eye? What a waste that would be. What a waste of a good world. What a waste of one life that would be if we should spend it doing something that our Creator didn't want us to do. So I'm guessing you and I, we all want to do God's will. Trouble is, it can be very hard to find, can't it? Is it just me who sometimes finds God's will very hard to find? And it's easy for Paul to talk. I mean, it looks ever so easy in this verse. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that makes it look as if everything is cut and dried. It's if we have a destiny. If you watched a Slumdog Millionaire, did you watch Slumdog Millionaire? The beginning of the program is this guy's on this sort of million-dollar question. And the thing is it luck? Has he cheated or is it written? And the philosophy, the religious philosophy of the film at the end is, it is written. Behind that is a determinism that your life is written out ahead of you. And many people are fatalistic and think that God, your life is laid out for you every step. Except that it doesn't look like that from my point of view. From inside my head, it really doesn't look that way. And I'm guessing inside your head too, you say, yeah, it might be God's perfect will, but you know, sometimes it's quite difficult to find is quite messy. My philosophy of religion lecturer at London Bible College used to describe God as the great improviser, which some of the harder line conservative students found it quite hard to cope with. God as the great improviser. But he used to say, you know, God is the great improviser. God gives us free will. And he has to improvise around that. I don't know. Have you got a nice top on this evening? Have you? Yeah. You chose it. You went into a shop, didn't you? And you bought that top. Or maybe it was given to you as somebody else went in and bought it and gave it to you as a present. And you're sitting there in your sartorial elegance tonight, in the top that you bought and that you put in the drawer and that you pulled out of the drawer this morning. Some of you are more conscious of that than others, but you did. Question is, did God make you wear that top? Was it a will of God question? Was it a guidance question? Oh God, what top shall I wear tonight? You know? Shall it be the one that, should it be a t-shirt that says just say no, or should it be the t-shirt that says just do it? I mean, you know, what am I going to wear? You see, I don't think it works that way. I don't think God this morning, as he caused the sun to rise and opened your sleepy eyes, I don't think God said, I want you to wear that t-shirt. I want you to wear that top tonight. I think what happened is that you pulled it out, put it on, and God said, cool, I like that. Yeah? Because God enjoys when you exercise your free will in a healthy way within his world. But overall, God does have a will. God has a plan for the world. And you and I fit into that. And that's one of the exciting things about being a Christian, is taking part in God's plan and influencing other people's lives as part of God's plan. And be able to see God's plan at work and God's kingdom grow. And being able to do things in God's name and see them prosper. That's exciting. But it can be quite hard to find that sometimes. At least I find it hard. And what do you do? But when you face this situation, you apply for two jobs. There's one you really want and one that you do if you didn't get the first one, which is, sounds great until they call you up for the interview and they're in the wrong order. So you find yourself being interviewed for the job you're not so keen on before the job you are keen on. I've known quite a number of people who've been in this situation. And what do you do if they offer you the first job? Do you take it? Or do you turn it down in faith that you want the second job? Difficult. What do you do? How do you go about it? What do you do? What subject do you choose at college? What do you choose to do when you go to uni? What profession do you choose? Where do you go to live? All these kind of things. You know, they're big decisions. And getting it right is quite awkward. So what I usually do very quickly, I offer you five tests for major decisions to find the will of God. Okay? Five decisions. There will be a test on this at the end, so see if you can remember them. All right? Actually, there won't be a test. I'm making that up. Okay, first is this. Does the Bible condemn my decision? I wonder more, and I forgot to put this on the schedule, but if you could just, while I'm talking, look up Psalm 119, verse 105. Does the Bible condemn my decision? Some things you don't need to decide. If what's on offer is clearly against God's will, then you simply do not do it. And in Psalm 119, verse 105, It talks about God's word being as a lamp to my path. That your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Billy Graham's wife was counseling. This guy had been a bit of a tearaway and accepted Christ in one of Billy Graham's campaigns. And she got to know him. And he came to her quite upset. And he said, "Oh, things haven't gone well." He said, "Well, my friend, you know, he got a bottle and he started drinking it. Well, he gets wild when he has a bottle. So I had to go and drink it with him just to stop him in case he did something stupid. So I spent the evening drinking with him." And then he went out, decided he was going to rob a convenience store. I thought, well, I better go with him, because if I don't go with him, he might do something stupid. And now we robbed it. And now the police are after us. I'm not sure if I did the right thing. And she said, "No, you didn't do the right thing. You drank the bottle because you wanted to drink it. You went on the heist because you wanted to go on it. You know, the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You know you can't walk in the light of the Bible and do that." And she went back to the store with the money and made him give it back to the guy in a convenience store and apologize for his behavior, which kind of freaked the guy out a bit, I think. But it was a good opportunity to say, "No, I've become a Christian. I shouldn't be doing this kind of thing." A friend of mine, he's an Anglican minister and now retired. A lady in his congregation came to say, "I think I ought to leave my husband because he's not a Christian." And he led the lady to the verse in Corinthians, which where Paul says, you know, if your husband or your wife is not a believer, don't leave them. Just because they're not a believer doesn't mean you should leave them. The presence of Christ in your heart sanctifies your marriage, even if they are an unbeliever, and it sanctifies your children. All these kind of things. You owe somebody money. Should I pay it back or not? The answer is, you know, clear. You know what you should do. If the Bible condemns it, then you don't do it. That is the number one step. You've got to know your Bible. And as your Bible will tell you about most of these decisions. So firstly, check it against the Bible. All right? And if the Bible says no, well, the answer is no. No matter how hard that might be, the answer is no. That's got to be the first step. So one, does the Bible condemn it? Secondly, and these are not necessarily no. The first one, I think, it comes first. The others, they're all kind of unequal. Bible test. Secondly, the wisdom test. Is it a sensible decision? You see, there are 1,200 Bible chapters. 1,200 chapters in the Bible. 100 of them are to do with wisdom. 100 of them are wisdom chapters. Now, I know that it's very nice to be guided by the Spirit of God. And we'll come to that in a moment. But the Bible also talks a lot about wisdom. Common sense decisions. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, talks very strongly about wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. The wisdom test, common sense. There is such a thing as sanctified common sense, believe me. And you've got to have it. You've got to develop it. God put 100 wisdom verses in the wisdom chapters in the Bible for you and me to learn wisdom. So make sure you do read the book of Proverbs and the wisdom psalms. Psalm 119 is a wisdom psalm. Make sure you read them. Okay? God wants you to grow up. Little children are lovely, and I miss little children. My children, little children, no longer little children, they're grown up adults now. And when they're little, you guide them, you know, and you say, don't touch that, try that. Don't pick that up, you know, put it down. And that's how it is, you know, when they're little, but you expect them to grow up. I was bird watching a few months ago down a Point of Ayre, and I had my telescope out, and I was watching. There weren't many interesting birds, but there were lots of birds, but nothing special. But I was watching a curlew. A curlew, for those who don't know, is a bird with a very curved beak, long beak. And this thing picked up a crab in its beak. I could clearly see through the telescope that it had this great big crab in its beak, and the crab was not happy at being picked up, and its pincers were going, its little legs were going. And this curlew, this great big, and I came over all sort of parental, you know? I just put that back. You know? You're going to choke on that. You know? Don't be silly. Just put it back where you found it. I was all parental. And then would you believe, curlew opened its mouth and swallowed the thing whole. Whoa. Okay. Maybe the bird knew what it was doing better than me. And you know, with your kids, when they're little, you guide them. But you don't want to spend your life guiding them. You want them to grow up and be wise and take their own decisions. And they do. Mine certainly do. So the Bible test, the wisdom test, grow in wisdom. Please grow in wisdom. Learn to grow in wisdom. Secondly, thirdly, what do your friends and Christian counselors say? Christian friends and Christian counselors, listen to the opinion of others. If you're not sure, bounce it off some counselors. You know? Bible's good, wisdom is good, but your Christian friends are good as well. Now, they might not all give you the same advice, all right? But by and large, you'll find that in the many, many counselors is wisdom, says the book of Proverbs, you know. As you talk to your friend, your Christian friends, and ask their opinion, you will find, generally speaking, there's wisdom. I was really touched some years ago to discover that the bishops of Liverpool meet together to talk about their decisions together. I thought, that's fantastic, you know. These Christian leaders, they just don't go off doing their own thing and making their own decisions. They talk to each other and bounce their ideas off each other. And it's good to have friends. It's good to have friends who will say no to you, will stand up to you. And I'm blessed with friends like that, and I bounce ideas off them. And they say, Peter, I don't think that's a good idea. And I did it recently, actually, well, a few years ago. I bounced idea off some of my Christian friends, and they said, Peter, I don't think that's a good idea. And I said, I can see where you're coming from, but I'm going to try it anyway. He said, Peter, I still think it's a good idea. And I tried it. It really wasn't a good idea. Yeah? I was under pressure. So, Bible, wisdom, friends. All right? And then, are you at peace? The Spirit of God is leading you. The Spirit of God will lead you into peace. Isaiah 30:21 is one of my favorite all-time Bible verses. Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, what's that saying? Saying that God is not going to direct every single step of your life. He's going to allow you to read the Bible and be guided by it. He's going to teach you wisdom. He's going to give you Christian friends and counselors who'll give you their advice. And you're going to start walking. He expects you to start walking and taking decisions. If you get it wrong, he'll tell you. This is such a comfort to me, you know. Take that decision. If you get it wrong, God will tell you. It's what you're going to do at college. Well, do what you want to do. And if it's wrong, God will tell you. A girl once said to me, you know, she's discussing to me, talking about what she's going to do. She said, well, I suppose I ought to do such and such a course. I really want to do the other course, but I suppose God wants me to do the course, which he really wasn't very fond of. I said, why? Why does God want you to do something you don't actually want to do? I said, no, do the one you want to do. And if it's wrong, he'll tell you. But don't assume God's going to make you do the wrong thing. When I was finishing my physics degree, I applied for a PhD in physics up in Strathclyde University. It was physics of noisy systems. It did appeal to me. It was wonderful. The statistics was fairly dire, but as a physicist, you come to the point, okay, when you've got to go out and start proving the statistics, and so it seemed to involve collecting buckets of sewage from sewers and things and testing them, doing all kinds of things to test the physics of noisy systems. I went up and I talked to them. They said, yeah, come up and talk to us. I talked to them, really nice, like the professor, like the department. It was quite good. But at the same time, I was considering a missionary career in South America. And but I just wanted to kind of test that out, really. So I looked at this PhD and came back down on the train, and the further I got from Glasgow, the more convinced I got that really that wasn't a good idea. And I got back to Bristol, and I wrote a letter to the professor. I thanked him for his time and said I'd really enjoyed my visit to the department, really enjoyed talking to him, but on reflection, that wasn't the path for me, and I withdrew my application. Mercifully, I would have been a very bad physics researcher, and my statistics would have been appalling. So, but what happened was that God took away my peace, you know. I just wasn't right. It wasn't right. Tried it, pushed the door, had a go for it, and it really wasn't right at all. So that's what will happen when God says no to you. A David Wilkerson story. David Wilkerson, the guy who wrote Cross and Switchblade. One of my favorite books is After the Cross and Switchblade, which is such an honest, vulnerable account of his failings as the great, great David Wilkerson. Actually, the great David Wilkerson, isn't that great after all? And he talks about how they actually, when their organization began to grow, they began to get paid quite a good salary. And so they went down to a car showroom and they bought this shiny, expensive car. And they drove it home. And there it was, their shiny, expensive car. And they got it home. And they looked at it. They said, oh, that's wonderful. And they looked at it. They said, you know what? It's not us, is it? So they took it back to the showroom and said, have you got something old and beaten up? It's really, yeah, we have. So that's our car. You know, they lost their peace. That's a trivial kind of example. But listen, the peace thing is important. God will take away the peace of your heart if you've taken the wrong decision. So don't be scared to take decisions. God will turn that around. Okay? My mobile phone has a little thing on it, this new one that says, you know, you can set it so you've got 3 seconds to decide not to send the email. Quite clever. Times you need that. God will say no. So your Bible, wisdom, friends, peace. The Spirit of God will guide you and will take away your peace if you got it wrong. And finally, and I kind of make this the last really, do the circumstances back it up? Do the circumstances back it up? Now you've got to be careful there, because circumstances can, on their own, are not necessarily a good sign. My favorite story is the young man who went to his minister and said, I feel called to be a missionary. Oh, yes, he said, because, and I went out, and there enough, sure in front of me, I saw a big advert for Brazil nut chocolate. Clearly, God's calling me to be a missionary in Brazil. And the pastor said, good job you didn't see one for a Mars bar. Okay? Circumstances come together when God's at work. When God called me to be missionary, talking about called to be missionary, you see the way circumstances do work. I felt God was calling me to be missionary in South America. So I wrote to the only South American Mission Society that I had any contact with, an Anglican one called SAMS. And I wrote to them, I said, look, I'm a third year university student, but I just feel that God has called me to South America. I'm really not sure what to do. And I got back and I just said, well, actually, matter of fact, the General Secretary is down in Bristol preaching in Christchurch Clifton next Sunday. Go and talk to him, he's expecting you. And I went along to the church, and there he was. And I said, oh, yes, you're the guy. He talked to me, gave me wonderful advice. Top class, which I followed. I ended up in Brazil. Circumstances came together. That kind of clinched it for me. But on their own, don't trust the circumstances. John White has a book called The Fight, and he talks about dramatic guidance is very necessary for headstrong people. If you notice in the Bible, the guys who had the most dramatic guidance were the most headstrong people who really needed a thump round the head to get their attention. And he said, God's aim is for you to become his companion, that you walk together with him. He already knows all about you. Now he wants you to understand something of him. The more you understand of him, the more real the companionship will be, and more likely you are to keep in step with him in the direction he's taking you in. I think that's the overall thing. Yeah, these tests are there. Bible, wisdom, friends, peace, circumstances. They're all there, but listen, as you walk with God and get to know him, you'll find you're in step with him, and things will fall into place. They really will. Okay? But make sure you're walking with him and share your life with him.